Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and our phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them, especially if it involves a bunk bed or two different tones there. I don't know if did the mic pick it up. It's kind of way over
did
there.
Did the mic even pick up either of them?
I don't know. I'm gonna move them over here a little bit. That's the thing. You have to be creative with where the positioning of the bunk bed bells.
So what's more annoying than Tony with one bell is Tony with two bells.
We now have two bunk bed bells, and I didn't even know this other one was coming. Lillian, one of our EPPs, sent it to us through the mail. I was going to say the internets, but no, but through the postal system. And it's a very pretty one. This is a nice, pretty, ornate bell.
I didn't touch it till you told me it came from Amazon, because I was afraid it was old and from some haunted hotel.
It does kind of look like something that'd be on the desk of like a haunted hotel.
Uh-huh.
So we now have two bunk bed bells, and I'm excited about that. Both kind of have their own sound to them. So if you're not familiar and you're just joining us wondering what the hell we're talking about, we have a lot of stories about bunk beds and ghosts and the combination of the two. If they're intertwined, we don't know, but there certainly seems to be some sort of correlation there. And every time it happens, because it's so frequently, I said we need a bell. And we got one bell. One of our listeners sent us, and it's the one that they sell at the Hollywood Tower Hotel, which is the Tower of Terror at the Disney park in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this bell. I'm not good at ringing bells. Like I think I keep
you
my
keep
hand on
hit,
it too long.
Hitting it too much.
There we go. And then we have this other one. So I can make little, I turn this music off and do. Go ahead, Jenny, start rapping.
No, I'm good.
It was a bunk bed bell one day. And I'm not good at that. So
wow.
There you go. Keeping it real, kids. Keeping it real. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to our first story. Are there any bunk beds in any of the stories today, Dana?
Not that I recall, but that's not on purpose.
Okay.
That was just the way it happened.
I will keep one handy just in case.
Okay.
It'll be at arm's length so I can hit it if I need to. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, my name's Twyla. I'm from Australia. I just thought I'd share with you another one of our creepy stories. So apparently this is my mom's story. And when she was young, she grew up in sort of extreme poverty. They lived in the back of a truck, like two adults and three children just living in the back of a truck. And so what happened was they used to work on sheep stations. And in outback Australia, it's a very hard life. So what happened is, she says that when she was really little, she was in one of the rooms in the sheep station. And she said she must have been about, like, you know, under seven. Like, she was tiny. And she said she wakes up because she starts hearing, like, clip-clop, like one of the sheep into the house. And she says she's listening, but it's not like a sheep. She can't hear, like, normal sheep footprints, she hears three sheep. They're walking on two legs. She hears one of them walk in, and it comes and it stands at the end of her bed. Then she hears another one come, and it comes and stands to the right of her bed, like right on the right side of her pillow. And then the next one she hears, she's hearing the clip-clop, clip-clop, but she's hearing that like it's bipedal. And she hears the third one come, and it comes to her left pillow. And then she's there, and she's got the sheet, like her sheets are up above her eyes. And she's like, she says she was panicked. She didn't know what was going on, but she knew. Like, she'd been, you know, raised devout Catholic, and, you know, hearing sheep footprints on a bipedal animal probably isn't a good thing. Then the one that's on the left-hand side of her, she feels the pillow next to her head start to, like, depress. Like, she feels something sitting on her pillow right next to her face. And she said it sat there for what felt like eternity. She said it was probably, like, a couple of minutes. And then all of a sudden, the one on the pillow got up. It walked out. She said the one that was on the left, the right-hand side, it walked out. And then the one that was on the end, it walked out. She says she has no idea what it was, but it was terrifying. She says she doesn't know what she believed and how that makes sense, but she knows it was hooves, and it walked on 2 feet, and there were three of them, and it sat on her pillow. The next one is she said that when she was really young, not really young, she was actually like a teenager, I guess. She said she was living under her mom's old house, and the house was, you know, a really old house. And all of a sudden, she says, one night she wakes up, and she's feeling like this pulling, like she can feel her whole body, and she can feel like her spirit being pulled out of the bed. She said, I don't know how she sort of explains this, I'm sorry if I'm telling it wrong, but she said it pulled her up out of the bed, and it starts pulling her out the doorway, not like dragging her on her feet, like levitating her to the door. And she says it's pulling her through the doorway, but she gets her hands and her feet, and she's either side of the door hinges, and she said she was pressing with all her might because she could feel this thing was pulling her through the door. And she could feel it, like she said it wasn't just a physical thing, you could spiritually feel whatever this thing was pulling with all its might to get her through the door. And she said all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she was bracing against it, and it just dropped her, and she fell on the floor. She has no idea what it was. She has no idea what would have happened if it had got her through the door. But yeah, I don't know if you can debunk that, or if anyone has any ideas what either of those were, but their mom's story. Hope you like them.
I don't really have anything to debunk it with, but that's interesting that the assumption was sheep.
Yeah.
In the first one. Because goat seems to be the common animal that's picked up, where it's like it's goat hooves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sheep are the common demonic pet in Australia.
Well, I think she assumed it was sheep because of their life.
Okay,
they go around shearing sheep,
sure,
from camp to camp, and that's...
Okay.
That was common back then. I don't know if it still is in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But so she just assumed one of the sheep made its way in. I just can't differentiate hoof sounds. I don't know the difference between a goat or a horse or any other hooved animal, what they sound like walking. I guess because of the gait, you know,
mm-hmm,
you would be able to tell, but I don't know.
I'm really surprised that you're not better on hooves.
I know. I know, right?
Let's play a new game here. Ready? Are you ready for it? Name that hoof.
A horse.
Fake horse.
Okay.
Fake horse hooves. I think that's the only readily available hoof sound effect I have. Sorry.
Okay.
There's nothing you can compare it to. I just typed in hooves and it said fake. So, but next week we'll play name that hoof. And
you're going to have somebody waiting to hear that game being played, and we have no intention of ever really playing it.
You never played Name That Hoof. I was studying up on it all weekend. Sorry, we really won't play Name That Hoof, but maybe someday we will. And we'll give away some great studio prizes as well for all of the guests here today. They all get some Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, and Kleenex.
Okay.
I don't know why Kleenex. It's just a nice little cheap product that we could give someone.
I don't even remember what the story was about now.
Name that hoof.
Name that hoof.
Well, it was the hooves, and then the other part of the story was the pulling.
That's right. I think something was following her around.
From place to place.
Yeah, and I think it may have something to do with having such a hard life and being so poor and moving constantly that it'd be easy to pick something up that just decides to follow.
Well, sure, and also what we hear often, you know, folks who are having, you know, in bad situations, in rough lives, a lot of times it's not the happiest. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's very difficult. And unfortunately, as we hear all too often, kind of dark things like to gravitate towards that to make things just a little bit worse than it already is.
And depending on how old she was, you know, if she's getting into her teenage years, other stuff can be attracted just because of hormones, all that crazy stuff.
Sure. Interesting story. Thank you for that. And thank you for inspiring a great new game for us to play here on the show. Let's go to a caller in Ohio. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jimmy. My name is Devin, and I love listening to your show. I listen to it every day. Well, here's my ghost story. When I was younger, I live in this neighborhood in Ohio where there is a series of hills where we live. And there's an old house made of brick that was built in the 1840s. And it has a little graveyard by it where it belongs to a family that used to live there in the 1800s. Well, me and my friends, we used to ride around on our bikes around this old brick house all the time, and we wondered what it was, and it became a bed and breakfast. So we decided we wanted to go up while no one was there to see what the house looked like. And I remember a big group of me and my buddies went up there. It was about 10 to 20 of us that went up, and we looked in around the porch, and we looked inside the windows, and nobody was there. Well, we decided we wanted to go to the graveyard to see the gravestones, because we saw that there's a little fence with all these headstones there. So we went into the graveyard, and we were looking around the graveyard, and these graveyards were old, 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 some from 1820s. Some were so old that the weather had ruined the headstones. There was no names on them at all because they had faded. But we were looking around the graveyard, and this was in the middle of the day, mind you. It was cloudy, it was overcast, but it was in the middle of the day. And I remember we were looking around the graveyard, and overlooking the graveyard on the side of the house was a window. Looked like a second floor window. And we were looking around the graveyard, and all of a sudden, one of my buddies who was with me stopped dead in his tracks. And he, like, poked me on the shoulder. And I looked around, and everybody was looking up at the window. And in the window, there stood this woman looking at us from the window, just staring at us, had a blank expression on her face. And I could still see what she was wearing. She was wearing like a 18th century blouse, kind of with a brooch on the collar, with a hair in a bun. But the thing about this woman is, we could see through her. And that freaked us out. And we got on our bikes and we rode as fast as we could away. When we got back to the houses, we were speechless. And we told each other, what in the world did we just see? And I remember, and I will never forget that. I do have another story that I like to call in sometime. And that's the story that I won't tell today anyway. But I love your show. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to becoming an EPP soon. Well, I love your show. Bye-bye.
So what in the world did they just see?
Oh, they saw a ghost. And the thing is, I think the type of ghost they saw is the most definitive, there's no doubt about it, you saw a ghost when you see a translucent person.
Yeah.
Because anything else you can kind of, you know, be like, oh, well, maybe it was this or maybe it was that, but not a see-through person. There's no other explanation for that.
It's the full-bodied apparition that I think would be the spookiest to see.
Yeah.
Like that. And it makes you, you know, wonder sometimes, because sometimes you have things like that where it's the translucent, full-bodied apparition, and it's vividly a ghost. It's vividly a person ghost. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have the ghost that is almost maintaining more energy or something, because they go from translucent to visually fairly solid, if not completely solid, and you don't even realize if it's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I wonder how often that happens.
Yeah.
Where how many of those are out there wandering through the mall or through, and maybe not, maybe the mall's probably not the place that a lot of ghosts would go to. I guess I would say, you know, a common place where you tend to have a lot of people that you pass in the hallway that does tend to have a lot of hauntings with it. Both active buildings and non-active buildings. You weren't going to have so many people there, but the active ones, hospitals. I wonder how many people you pass in an active hospital situation that are actually people, living people.
I could see that.
You know, sometimes it's extremely busy, and it's like you get stuck. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a mall almost sometimes, as far as the hallways and the congestion that you can get into, you know, waiting to get past people or this or that. I wonder that how often that happens.
I would totally haunt a mall because
you would haunt a mall.
I would, because I would blend in.
Yeah,
people wouldn't really notice me. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of weird shit at the mall anyway.
Sure.
And you're just like, ah, it's kids or whatever.
You just write it off.
Yeah. So if you did have some kind of, you know, oddity towards your appearance, then you would just probably fit in.
I think it would be interesting. What I would do at the mall is when the kids get into the little ride things, you know, like the little fire engine or helicopter, and they're begging mom for a quarter to play it or something, I'd be the ghost that just like activates it.
That's cool.
And the kids like sit there, can I have a quarter? No, not. It's working.
See, I would be all about knocking mall cop off the Segway.
So you'd be doing horrible things at the mall, and I would be bringing joy to children so they can ride the fire engine.
Isn't that a twist?
What's going on here? It's opposite day at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Trisha in New York. Hi.
Hi, this is Trisha. I'm calling from Brooklyn. I am a new listener to the podcast, and I thought I should share my story with you. When I was growing up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, I was babysitting. I was about 11 years old, and I was babysitting two children, a five-year-old and a three-year-old, and they really wanted to play a game that lit up. So we were sitting in their living room playing this board game that had all these lights and buzzers on it, and all the lights were off, and their living room was sort of attached to their kitchen. It was divided by just one step up and a small counter island. So the only light that was in the room was from a small nightlight that was on the kitchen bar wall. So we're playing the game, and all of a sudden the little girl says to me, Trisha, who's that man in the TV? And I say, sweetie, the TV's off. There's nobody on the TV. And she's like, no, who's that man in the TV? And so I turn and I look. The TV was behind me, and it was, in fact, off. And in the screen, the glass screen, you could see the entire kitchen reflected because of that nightlight that was on in the kitchen. And it appeared in the reflection that there was a man standing in the kitchen behind the counter. And when I turned to look at the actual kitchen, there was no man standing there. So I tried to calm myself and rationalize what was going on in my little 11-year-old brain. And I said, wow, this is a great baseball bat you have here. So I picked up one of the kids' baseball bats, and I went over to the kitchen, and I went swinging around the counter. Of course, there was nobody in the kitchen. And I had a sweater that was sort of on the counter. And I'm like, I think it's just my sweater making it a weird reflection. So I'm going to get it. It's kind of cold. So I took my sweater, and I took the portable phone off the cradle, and I came back, and I looked at the TV, and there was nothing. It was just the reflection of the kitchen. And I'm like, see, it was just my sweater. It was making shapes. And I didn't really think that, but that's what I was telling myself, and that's what I was telling the kids. So I sat back down with the phone and the baseball bat and my sweater, and I was like, let's get this game done. Let's go. So we continued to play the game, and a few minutes later, the little girl says again, Trisha, who's that man on the TV? You never told me. And I was like, sweetie, it was just my sweater. It was playing tricks with the light. It was nothing. She's like, no, the man in the TV. And I turn and I look, and in the glass of the television, in the kitchen reflection, there was a man standing in the kitchen. But there was no man in the actual kitchen. So I said, everybody up. We're done with this game. I took the phone. I took the baseball bat. I took the fire poker. I took the kids. I turned on every single light in the entire house. There was nobody in the entire house. I barricaded us in the children's bedroom and read them stories until they fell asleep. And then I sat with my weapons and the phone on the top of the stairs trying to think of what I could possibly tell the parents when they came home that didn't make me sound like a lunatic. So I finally heard the garage door open and I chickened out and I put everything back and I didn't say anything because I thought they would lock me up forever. And then flash forward a number of years, and the little boy who I was babysitting actually was my brother's roommate in college. And so I went to visit them in college one time, and I was like, hey, do you remember when I used to babysit you? And I told him the story, and I'm like, do you remember that at all? And he said, no, I don't, but it's funny you mention that, because my neighbors on either side of me, the three houses on the corner there, they always said that there was something in those three houses that would always bother the girls. And I was thinking about it, and it made perfect sense because the little girl was the one who noticed it, and I was the one who saw it, and we were the ones reacting. And he just sort of didn't really understand what was going on. I mean, he was young. He was about 5 years old, so. But he didn't see it or react to it or say anything about it. And apparently, there were strange things that happened in those three houses, his included, that always seemed to bother the girls. So, I mean, nothing bad happened, and it didn't seem particularly malicious, but something that I'll always remember, and it was very unexplained. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
It's kind of like a horror movie.
You know, that's the kind of babysitter I wish I could find. I mean, for an 11-year-old to make sure the little ones are safe, mm-hmm. barricade them in their room, and then stand guard with weapons.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had a babysitter that would have done that.
No.
Or been that intelligent, or had the foresight enough to do that.
No.
I had one that was playing with me in the road. Did I ever tell you that story?
I think I can guess who it was babysitting you.
No, I don't.
Maybe not?
I don't even remember her name.
Okay.
Who were you going to guess?
No, I'm not going to say. Okay.
No, it was, I think it was like a friend, my mom's friend's daughter from church or something. I don't know. They knew this person somehow. It was somebody's kid that they knew that lived in the general vicinity of our neighborhood. And it was fall, and I remember playing outside in the leaves, which was great fun because there was just tons of leaves up there. And the babysitter thought it'd be a great idea. I was probably about, I don't know, 6, 7 or so. Thought it'd be a great idea and a great fun game. And I'm guessing she was in high school, so I don't know, 15, 16. Good enough to know better.
Yeah.
Okay. To have us go and take big piles of leaves, and it was getting fairly dark. It was dusk, at least. It was probably late dusk. So I remember this being fairly dark. And taking the piles of leaves, putting them in the road, so then when cars drove by, the leaves would all go, whoosh, you know, and blow up in the air and all that. So here she's having the 6-year-old run out into the middle of the road. And it wasn't a super busy road, mind you, but busy enough.
Yeah.
Busy enough where, you know, it wasn't like a cul-de-sac where kids go and play baseball on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a road. You're not going to go play football on this road or do anything on this road other than cross it to get the mail. And even then, you're sitting there waiting several, you know, a lot often enough where cars come by at least a couple a minute. And that's what we did. Then I remember telling my mom about that the following day. Like, oh, how was it? Did you enjoy the babysitter? Yeah, it was great. We played out in the road. You what? Yeah, we put leaves in the road when it was dark out. Even better, you know.
Uh-huh.
So when the cars come by, they go flying in. You did what? Yeah. That babysitter never came by again.
I bet not. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Good times for all. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We even had David on yet, have we?
I don't think
okay,
so.
This is David in Massachusetts. Hi.
Hey, it's David from Boston. I have a story about what I assume are black-eyed children. I was driving home really, really late one night. I had just gotten out of classes in Boston, and I was driving home. I live in a suburb north of Boston, and I saw these weird children in the road, and they were dressed in kind of old-timey clothes, I guess. I mean, not like super, super old, like 1800s, more like 1930s, 1920s. But it was really weird, and there were three of them. It was two boys, one girl. And they just walked across the street. Now, like, this was like 11 o'clock at night. And I thought nothing of it until the next night the same thing happened. And then this time they stopped and looked at me. So I kind of, like, rolled down my window, but I, like, turned my head to roll down the window, and when I looked back, they were gone. So, I don't know, I figured it was, I was hallucinating, I must have been tired. But anyway, it's like 2 weeks later, and I'm alone in my house. It's like mid-afternoon, sunny, you know? And I hear this really weird noise in the living room, which is attached to my kitchen. So I go back to investigate it, and I see nothing. So I go back into the kitchen, and I continue doing whatever I'm doing, probably making food. And I hear the noise again. But this time, out of the corner of my eye, I see the same little girl that I saw before. So, and then I get, like, this really weird feeling. So I'm like, okay, this something weird is going on. So I just out loud said, you know, whatever you are not welcome in my house. You need to leave. And I heard a giggle, like a little girl's high-pitched giggle. And then I just felt like there was nothing there again. And it's been about a week now, so I don't know if anything is still here or if it's listening to me make this call and it's pissed off. I don't know. But that's my experience. I'll keep you guys updated. And thank you so much for the show. I love it. I'm a proud EPP. You guys need to keep doing what you're doing. And Tony, you're hilarious. And Jenny, you are the best. All right. Thank you. Bye.
So did he actually see the black eyes?
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Sounds like it.
Okay. Then, yeah, it's black-eyed children. And I don't know why they would be coming in, since usually when they ask to come in and you say no, they go away. But it sounds like they just somehow made their way in because there wasn't that interaction.
It's a different version of a black-eyed children story. Oftentimes it's just you see them, they look like children, and then they're gone after they go away. This almost sounds like there's a ghostliness to them. I mean, they're all kind of ghostly, spooky, but it's rare that, you know, suddenly, oh, they're in the house.
Right.
That's the difference here. I'm wondering if it really wasn't a black-eyed child that you saw. It was a ghost of some sort, and that was the appearance that it had.
Mm-hmm.
And it somehow, it's making itself known still in your home.
And that's why I was kind of wondering if he actually saw the black eyes or not.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, it's bizarre.
It is.
It's a different twist on the whole thing. Let us know if anything happens. See, with my bizarre sense of humor, if I was calling in that story, even if, you know, that all did happen to me, and at the very end there, what I would have done with it, and then I would have been like, I'm just kidding about this part, but the rest is true. I would have, at the very end, like, it's been a week since, you know, this happened. I'm not quite sure. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then act like the black-eyed children are coming over and killing me. You know, get like some Jello or something, and you know, stab it. You know, it kind of makes
stab
that
stab Jello.
So it makes that kind of squishy sound, and scream, and they're like, "Oh, just kidding."
Stab
but a
Jell-O.
Nice little twist at the end.
Yeah.
Of the story.
Not sure I would have aired that.
Aired what?
The call.
If I would have done that.
Well, if somebody did do that.
That's true. Probably would have liked, okay, this is a bit much. I mean, it would put the rest of the story into question, I think, if you're doing that. But I would have just, you know, kind of it would be one of those things where I'm trying to find humor in something that's really kind of freaking me out.
Well, sure.
But that's me. And everyone else would dismiss the story while I'm just trying to work through it in my mind by putting humor in it.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
You're sick.
I try.
I know.
I try. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Jess in Georgia. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jess from Georgia. I decided to record my story this time, so hopefully it'll come in, like, clearer. I did call in before, and you guys played my story. I wanted to say thank you. It was the one about how I woke up to the sound of a loud bang and a woman screaming in my head. It was kind of strange. And Jenny mentioned that she thought maybe it was an empathic thing. And I just wanted to say that makes a whole lot of sense because I am empathic. I have experienced other people's emotions and emotions from places and impressions from places, I guess you would say, and objects too, for a very long time, actually for as long as I can remember. And I just wanted to say makes sense. But the story I want to tell you today is about what happened to me whenever I was a teenager. I was around 13 or 14. I went to live with my grandparents. It was a very dark time for me because there were some very bad things that had happened to me and my family during that time. So I kind of had to get away. So living with my grandparents was a good change for me. And I just want to say I never really experienced anything before. I'm at my grandparents' house before I moved there. But once I moved there and started living there, this is what happened. So it started out with small things. I would hear, they had hardwood floors, and I would hear a boot walking on a hardwood floor in the middle of the night. I would hear, kind of whispers and sounds of people talking, but I couldn't really make out what they were saying. Then it escalated to things turning on by themselves. What I mean by that is anytime I was alone in the house, things would kind of just go crazy. It got to a point where I hated being there alone, but things would turn on. Like their house was very old, and they had antique knobs on their sinks in the bathrooms. There were two bathrooms in the house. And I would hear the sinks turn on. And it would take, a good bit of force to turn the knob because it was, it was an old antique knob. It wasn't something you could just kind of like knock into and it would just turn on. No, you had to put some strength into it to turn the knob on both of the bathrooms. And I would hear the faucets turn on, just full blast turn on. I would hear like huge whole conversations of people upstairs while I was downstairs. And whenever I was there by myself, I would get this feeling of just this heavy, oppressive feeling before anything happened. And I hated it. I hated being there by myself. It got to a point where I would literally wait outside. If I came home and my grandparents weren't home, I would wait outside a good 5 or 10 feet away from the house, in the yard, kind of like at the bottom of the driveway until my grandparents got home. I would just sit there and didn't matter. Even if it was raining, I just would sit there. I didn't care. I would rather be out in the rain than be inside. It was that bad. Things escalated kind of slowly. I was there for years, but things escalated. I want to say slowly. It took maybe, I don't know, a year between, footsteps and whispers to voices and faucets. And then it got to where I was being pushed down the stairs. And when I say push down the stairs, I would feel somebody behind me. I always felt somebody behind me coming up and down the stairs. But I would feel them and then I would fall. It wasn't, it's not that I was particularly clumsy. I would just always fall. And I could feel sometimes the push, the actual push. I would be at least once a month, I would fall down the stairs. I twisted ankles. I broke toes. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. So things escalated to that. And then after that, not long after that, the dreams started. And when I say the dreams, they were nightmares. It was terrible. I would have repetitive dreams that were just terrifying. One in particular, I would fall asleep in the room, my bedroom. And while I was asleep, I knew it was a dream, but everything in the room would be exactly as it had been when I fell asleep. And someone would walk in the room. A figure, I guess you could call it. I couldn't make out who they were. And all I could see was a pair of hands. They would come down and they would choke me in my sleep. And I would wake up gasping for air, with little red marks on, my neck. Nothing like too bad. They would go away, shortly after I woke up, but they would be there. And I knew, it wasn't just, like a sleep apnea or whatever. It was real, and it was terrifying. Got so bad where I actually switched rooms. I stopped sleeping in that room and went to sleep in another room altogether. And after I switched rooms, that dream stopped, but I would get scratched. And, my grandparents, they would say, oh, you're just scratching yourself in your sleep. But it's kind of hard to scratch yourself in the middle of your back, while you're sleeping. So we didn't have pets or anything. So there was no cat jumping in the bed to, scratch me or anything. It was terrible. After a little while, I'm going through this, I don't tell my friends at school about anything. I didn't think they would believe me, first of all. And secondly, I didn't like talking about it because it scared me. But one night I had my best friend at the time actually, stayed in the house with me. And she actually slept in the room that I had those choking dreams in. I didn't think much of it. I mean, I was kind of afraid for her, but I didn't want to tell her what was going on because I didn't want to scare her. And I thought, since everything was happening to me, that she would be fine. So anyways, she fell asleep in the room and I slept in my room, and which is the room I had switched to. And they were right next to each other. But anyway, she fell asleep in the room, and the next morning I go downstairs and she's on the couch, and it looked like she had slept there. And I was like, hey, why are you sleeping on the couch? And she's like, I had this terrible dream. And as soon as she said that, my heart stopped and I was like, oh God, no. But then she explained the dream, and the dream she explained was exactly the same as mine. She said, in this dream, I was asleep in the room. Everything looked the same. These hands came down and choked me. And then as they were choking me and as I was choking, I couldn't scream out for help. But you came in the room and you screamed at this thing to stop hurting me. And it stopped. And I woke up, and she said, I moved my stuff downstairs and I just slept on the couch for the rest of the night. I was so terrified. And that's whenever I told her, what had been happening with me. I mean, I was like crying because I felt so bad, that I had put her in danger. But anyways, I just wanted to tell you guys about that. I'm sorry this has been so long. I love you guys. I love your show. I'm an EPP, so yay. Thanks.
I think it's really interesting that the grandparents never had anything happen, because it wasn't just her that she was the only one that had something happen. Obviously, the friend did too.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to know. It may not be possible to know, but I'm just curious if it was just whoever stayed in that room or if there were other things to other that happened to other people in the family.
Or if they did have anything happen, if they would write it off as something else. And, you know, I mean, probably nothing quite as dramatic as what happened to her happened to them. But, I mean, one of those things where you write off, you know, it's, you're just scratching yourself. It's like you don't really get, like, strangle marks, you know, by yourself in most cases. You know, and the scratching in weird area. I mean, no, Grandma, this is not that.
Right.
It's not like me sleeping in my arm the wrong way and it's, you know, there's a mark or something. Ah, that's just... Although, you know, it's difficult, though. I mean, I suppose if you're the grandparent and there's a certain way of thinking that you have and trying to open yourself up to that at that certain point of, well, maybe there is something else going on here. That's not an easy road to cross to get there and open yourself up to it. Sometimes it's just easier to be like, nope, you're fine. It's the cat.
Yeah.
Cat's choking you at night. Although there was no pets. So I don't know how you justify that.
I don't know.
Thank you for sharing your story. And as you heard, she sent in audio through her phone, not just through the phone number. She actually recorded the audio, emailed it to us. That's a good alternative if you're listening to us in a place where the toll-free number isn't so toll-free like other parts of the world outside of the United States. You can always do that and email it to us. You send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just record it on your mobile device. There you go.
There you go.
Mobile device. Dennis, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Dennis calling from Rosemead, California. 10 minutes away from Los Angeles, east of Los Angeles. Love what you guys do. Love the show. Proud EPP here. Think you guys are hilarious. Tony and Jenny. Anyways, let me get to my story. So when I was about 15, my sister was probably about 12. We used to live an hour away from here in the high desert, Palmdale, California. My parents and me and my sisters, we shared a room. And one night, my mom's good friend came over to hang out with her, and her daughter came out hang out with us, you know, longtime friends, knew each other for years. We were watching movies in my room, in our room, her and my sister sharing the bed and me in my bed. My sister ended up falling asleep, and we're just watching movies, and I'm just talking, not that much. And out of nowhere, my sister wakes up, like, we see her, like, moving, shaking, and like if she's having a nightmare, and her eyes are tearing up, but she's still asleep, and then all of a sudden, she bolts up straight forward. She's like, oh my God, she's crying. She's crying. She's like, he was choking me. And we're like, what? And so I get up, I turn on the light, and we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, something was choking me. I was like, okay, sounds like sleep paralysis, right? So then she goes, and I go and call my mom. Mom comes in the room. She goes, what's going on? She, the doors open, so there's like a corner. The door is like a little space between the door, the behind the door and the corner and the wall. And, my sister, she's just like wiping the tears off, and she goes, something was choking me. And then she's like, oh yeah. And out of nowhere, she starts rubbing her eyes and like in disbelief. And she's like, oh my God, he's right there. And we're like, what? So she's pointing behind the door, that corner, that little space between behind the door and the wall. She's like, he's right there. And she's crying. She starts crying again, and she's rubbing her eyes in disbelief. And then she just about for like just 30 seconds, I want to say. And she says he just disappears. And the way she described him was like some black figure, no face, nothing. Just a dark, tall figure. I guess you want to say a shadow. I have no clue. Maybe you guys could have some idea or something. So fast forward a few months, maybe not even 2 years, I want to say. More than like about 4 years. She was already 15, so that would mean I was like 18. And my grandma lives over here where we currently live. We actually live at my grandma's house right now, and we would always come visit when we're living up there. And my sister, some said she wouldn't like going, or I wouldn't like going down here. So that day she decided to stay home by herself, and I think I went with my friends somewhere, and my parents came down here. So they told me this later. So about 10 minutes after my parents had left, my sister calls my mom, and my mom says she's crying and crying. And she said she was hanging out in my mom's room watching TV or whatever, and then she went to get something in our room. And our room, door closet, the closet doors, they're big mirrors. You know those type of closet doors or whatever? So she opens one, she's digging through whatever, she's digging clothes, she's gonna go to a shower or whatever. So when she closes the door, she sees this black shadow thing, as she describes, like the ring, bit long hair covering the face. She couldn't see the face. And this thing standing right behind her, she sees this through the mirror, and she freaks out and runs into my mom's room and slams the door closed and calls my mom, and she's crying. And my mom, she goes, "Well, see, that's what you get for staying home alone." And I thought that was pretty funny of my mom. You know, she's like, well, I don't know what else she could have said. I don't know. But she calmed her down or whatever after. So fast forward to now. My sister has, we all live again here with my grandma, so it's a pretty packed house. She has a newborn, was born this past December, 2015, sorry. And she has a 3.5-year-old, different dads. And this new baby's dad's family, the mom, I guess the grandma, she's a medium or something like that. She could see stuff. And at my grandma's house, we would, ever since we could remember, there's always been stuff happening. Like lately, my grandma's 80 years old. She says they, as in the ghost, mess with her. Like they'll grab her arm as she's sleeping. Like I heard one of your stories. Like the arms hanging off the bed. They touch her arm. They slam the closet next to her, just messing with her. She gets really freaked out. And I even got mad one day and went in the room and was like, "Stop fucking with my grandma." Because that day she was really freaked out. Other times she's not really freaking out or nothing, but this time she was really freaked out. So anyways, this other grandma, the baby's grandma, you know, from my sister's boyfriend's side or whatever. She's a psychic or whatever you want to call it, medium, I don't know. But she came over, she recently started coming over to come visit the baby. She's like, "Oh yeah, there's an old lady over there in the room. She used to be kneeling down, but now she's standing up, and she stands next to your grandma's bed. And she walks across the hall to your brother's room. And your dog, which is my dog, she's like, the dog used to be scared of her, but now she's like familiar with her, so she's not scared of her anymore." And that would kind of make sense too, because my dog would sometimes be weird and just stop in the end of the hallway, and that's where leading to my grandma's room. So about 2 months ago, I sleep in my grandma's room on the floor, my sister on the bed, and the other bed is my grandma. My grandpa's, they split up, so he's not in there. So I was on the floor, and I work nights, and I was sleeping. It was about 6 p.m. in the afternoon. It's kind of dark already. I was tossing and turning, I guess, and it was kind of dark in the room, but I could still kind of see stuff. And I thought, I turned and I faced towards my grandma's bed, and I thought it was my grandma in there because I saw her by her bed, but she has a cabinet right there. And she's standing there next to the bed, and I'm like, okay, well, didn't think nothing of it, right? I was like, okay, just my grandma looking for something, not wanting to make noise to wake me up or whatever, because I had to work at night. So whatever, I turned around the other side. Maybe 30 seconds, 20 seconds later, my grandma walks in. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, were you just in here? And she's like, "No, I just barely came in right now." I was like, "What?" I was like, "I swear, you were inches in." She's like, "No." I was like, "I swear I saw you over there, like with a little hoodie over your head or something, like a little shawl, whatever." She's like, "No, that wasn't me. I just barely came in right now." And found out like a week later, the baby's grandma came and she told us about that lady. I didn't know this. I hadn't heard nothing about this lady. And then when the psychic lady, the grandma, told my sister, my mom, I wasn't there when she was telling them all this, but when she told her, that gave me the chills. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. That's exactly what I saw. She's like, yeah, she stands over there watching your grandma. She's harmless. I don't know what she's doing here, but yeah, she's definitely here. Sorry, that was, I kicked over a chair. Also when my sister was she was pregnant, she was having the baby, my mom didn't want to go because she gets nervous all about that blood and stuff. So she was at the hospital, but she wasn't inside at the time. So she had already had the baby. And this baby's grandma, the psychic mom, she was sitting next to her. It was just her and my sister in the room. So my sister said she was just like dozing off, and she could see, she thought she saw another lady next to her, and she kind of gave the grandma a look, and the grandma just gave her like this look, but she didn't say nothing. Not until like 2 weeks later when she was already back home and she came and visited the baby again. She's like, yeah. She's like, I don't want to tell you to scare you because, you know, you just had the baby. But yeah, there is a lady right there. She was standing next to you, and she described her. And my mom's right there listening. So my mom goes and pulls out this photo album, which is my grandma, which has my dad's mom, which would be my grandma that I never met. We never met. She passed away when I think my dad was 22. Oh, this is where everything connects. So I never met her, right? So then my mom brings out this photo album. She goes, here's a, do you know, she starts looking through the pictures, showing her. She goes, oh yeah, it's her right there. Out of like a group of 10 people, it was a family group photo. She points out my dad's mom. And my dad's like a skeptic and stuff. And he's right there listening, not really saying nothing, you know, probably just like, this is bullshit or whatever, you know, not really believing. So then she tells him, yeah, she's standing behind you. She watches over you. And my dad's probably still not believing or whatever. And she goes, she says something to tell you about 22, something about 22. So my dad, he gets really nervous. And my sister says she knows he got nervous because he was standing behind her and he started like messing with her hair, maybe out of like nervousness. And he goes, that's how old she was when she died. She got hit by a car. That was pretty trippy. Raw, when my mom was telling me the story, how the grandma was telling my dad and everybody, I thought that was pretty crazy. I think that's about it for right now. I have a lot more crazy stories to tell you guys about this house we currently live in. Yeah, it was a bunch of crap. I don't know. I always thought someone would come and check out, see what's there. And she came, but she didn't really say there's nothing bad, except that lady. But I feel like there's other darker things going on than there. Because one day, my grandma and cousin were arguing, and I just happened to record them so I could play it back for them. Be like, you see, I'm tired of this shit. You guys are always fighting. I forgot about the recording. And I was looking through recordings, about 2 weeks later, and you, in between this argument, you hear this like demonic like screech. Like, it was fucking creepy as hell. I kept the phone. It was a little old, like before smartphones. It was like when the Razors were around. It was like those type of phones, but you could still record audio. So I still kept the phone. So I want to extract that file one of these days somehow. I just need a charger for the phone, and I'll send it to you guys so you guys can listen to it. But yeah, I'm gonna be going on a road trip like in a few days up north to near San Francisco. And I'm gonna be looking forward to listening to all kinds of stories the whole trip. I always do, I always post pictures, say this is what I love doing, driving long distances, listening to real ghost stories online. So yeah, I hope you guys like the story. Maybe I'll hear it. Well, you guys take EPP here. Love you guys, take care, bye.
Thank you for calling in your story and sharing that with us. I'd love to hear that audio.
I think it sounds probably like something we've heard before.
Like the Richard one?
Yeah.
Where it made half of our audience ill?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, what the hell was it that you played? I suddenly got sick to my stomach when, I don't know, something demonic? I'm not really quite sure. It's either that or the latest release from Aha, one of the two. Take on me.
No, yeah. Don't sing that.
Remember Aha? So, there you go. It seems a little bizarre. Said like, oh, who is that that woman there in the house? She's okay. She's just, you know.
And you know, I wouldn't believe that everything is that grandmother. I think there's other things going on. So I wouldn't be like, oh, okay, it's just grandma. No, don't believe that. I think there could be something there masking as her, as well as her.
Yeah. Keep your guard up. I mean, because even if it is initially where it's ghost grandma, that could also be the prime opportunity for something else dark to suddenly start making its appearances, masking itself while you put your guard down, thinking, yeah, it's just ghost grandma.
Yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't all that long ago something that looked like it came from the movie The Ring was lurking around, so...
Exactly.
I can't believe that it's just gone, suddenly grandma's here.
I mean, everybody thought ghost dad was completely harmless, and now look what...
Jeez, Tony.
And I'll just stop there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get the reference, you get the reference. If not, you don't. So there you go. It was. Everybody thought he was very harmless.
Yeah, I know.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for sharing all your stories with us. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And click Become an EPP. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes. More than 80 some of those. Exclusive video content and more. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. There you go. For Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.